you listening to this?
You're talking crazy.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
To deal with these terrors, I need the high octane stuff.
Thank you, Carmichael Dave, for having me on. You're incredible. You're a gift and a treat to Sacramento, and you do great things. So I appreciate you.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
You know, David.
On the home of the two-time Summer League champion Sacramento Kings, Sports 1140 KHTK.
Let's begin the show by starting it.
Greg Papa will join us in just a moment, the voice of the Kings. Yesterday's poll question, 3,200 plus votes. The voice of the Niners. God, I was moving to the Kings. Sorry. Thank you for catching me on that. The voice of the 49ers. Greg Papa will join us in minutes. Thank you, Jay Mars. We'll take you all the way till 9. Jim Rome is next. Don't forget, off next week for the turkey holiday. So please do enjoy. Again, over 3,200 votes in. It's a pretty decent sample size. Who do you hold most responsible for the Kings' struggles was the question. And the answer was a tie. Coaching and ownership. I believe ownership had just an edge because that's what's highlighted. Both were tied at 30%. Followed very closely by the roster, the players at 25%. The front office, 15%. Today's question was, is there...
Still a honeymoon period?
I guess so. I think so. The question asked today for the Fire Loot crowd, is there anything he could do? Is there anything you could see that would change your mind at all? I mean, honestly, a thought exercise. Like, what if they would have to be they make the playoffs? Would it have to be their next 10 games? Do they have to win a championship? Is there anything? About half the people said there's just literally nothing he could do, including two where I said, what if they won the title this year? No. I'm not here to agree or disagree or debate it. I find it interesting to have that thought exercise. And a lot of people, we haven't even gotten to that yet. Who knows what's going to happen? But I will address one quick thing before we get to Greg. A lot of people assume, and maybe they're right, by the way, that it would be Alvin Gentry that would take over. That's a decent assumption. Gentry coming over from the Pelicans as their head coach, highly regarded. I'm not entirely sure. And I'm not even getting into these 5'10 and 5'95 career under 500 guy, blah, blah, blah. I like Alvin Gentry. I do. In situations like this, the only asterisk I will put up there is this. A lot of times when you have a coach like that, and I don't know Alvin's business, but a lot of times when you have a coach like that who's been around the league, who's been a head coach. I mean, Alvin's been a head coach for off and on for 25, 26 years. A lot of times they're not the guy you can just throw in to be the interim. They want a pretty sizable raise, and they also want an extension. They don't want to just do the interim thing. So be careful with that assumption because it'll be a lot cheaper and a lot easier in many cases, perhaps not with Alvin, but historically to just throw one of the assistants in and say, hey, you know what, you get some head coaching experience and we'll see what happens at the end of the year. But we are perhaps very far away from that conversation. We are right now into our Friday conversation with the voice of the Niners.
It's time for the Greg Papa Show. Here's the voice of the Niners, Greg Papa.
All right. It is such a great week such a great way to end each and every week talking to our dear friend, the encyclopedia himself, the one, the only Greg Papa. Greg, did Brandon Crawford get robbed? Your thoughts?
I think Fernando Tatis Jr. actually did. I was not on board with Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I know he had a great second half. He did not have a great first half before the Giants played him. It was Father's Day weekend, so we saw him three straight games, and there were a couple instances where he was a little slow to get out of the box. I remember Lamont Wade Jr. threw him out at second base, and everybody was praising the play that Lamont made, and he made a good play, but I looked at it more like he was in the box for 1.7 seconds.
Yeah.
But he was just standing there, didn't come out. So you could see, though, he has such a powerful but yet controlled swing where he's just not – like some hitters really have to, what I call buggy whip it, really have to create torque and almost wiffle ball bat it. But Bryce, it's just unusual. It's just a powerful yet very much in control swing. He generates incredible bat speed, but doesn't seem like he's overexerting himself. And it's just when he makes contact, he's a beautiful player to watch. So it's a weird year. Obviously, Shohei in the American League did things historically well, but none of the six even final candidates, the three in each league, made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So for the first time since 1987, when it was Andre Dawson in the National League and the Cubs and George Bell, in the American League with the Blue Jays, we had both MVP winners come from non-playoff teams.
I'm going to ask you a real quick follow-up because, and then hand it to Jay because we want to talk Niners. But we asked this earlier. I'd be curious to your take. And I, Greg, this is one of those dumb sports radio media questions. But I was telling him how my dad went out and got a Sports Illustrated with, I think, 15-year-old Bryce Harper on it, who probably had the closest thing we've ever had to LeBron James-type hype in baseball. And now he just won his second MVP. He just turned 29 years old. In a way, is Bryce always, though, in some aspect, going to be a prisoner to the hype that was there before he got into baseball?
Yeah, I guess to some degree. But he has won two MVPs. Yeah. And the one before that he won was, I think, clear. He had a dominant year.
Yep.
He's a great player. He has, you know, a lot of style to him, obviously, with his hair and the way he handles himself. And I remember him when he was a younger player, even with Washington, and Matt Williams. Remember when Matt Williams benched him?
Yep.
Not running down the line. I mean, there was a little bit of that. I mean, he's because of the nature of it. And they had Strasburg as well. They had back-to-back number one overall picks in the amateur draft, which has not happened very often. But I think the bigger question now with two MVPs and him having probably another 10 years of solid baseball, this guy's on a path to fulfill the tremendous expectations. I mean, you can cite that SI cover. I got an SI cover from March the 12th of 1984 with Clint Hurdle on the cover. Remember Clint Hurdle?
Yeah.
Or maybe George Brett was on that one, but there was one. I think Hurdle was actually in the 70s. Anyway, and you know, Clint became a good manager, but he did not fulfill the potential of what he was supposed to be. So, yeah, there's been an enormous burden for Bryce to be the player that he has become in some degrees. Whether you're critical of certain aspects of his game, obviously, he just won a second MVP. So, I think when you look back on it, that's a hard thing to do. LeBron certainly has done it. But that's a hard thing to do, is to fulfill the potential of someone. It's so enormous going back to when they were teenagers. I mean, that's almost insane.
Greg Papa joining us this morning. Greg, let's move over to the 49ers, obviously coming off the big win Monday Night Football. Going into this game against Jacksonville, it's so easy and cliche to say, well, Greg, how do they keep the momentum coming in from Monday? But with how Jekyll and Hyde this season is, how do they keep the momentum coming into Sunday?
Just a laser focus and attention to detail and play with precision like they did Monday. And the thing that's a little bit disconcerting to me, although I was there yesterday and I asked quite a few people this question, including the head coach, and they're not going to say it's an issue, but just the Rams, they're so familiar with the Rams. They know them so well. And the coaching staff, and you know just how they play. So it's with Jacksonville, it's completely the opposite. It's a team they don't know well. They've not played this team at all since Christmas Eve of 2017. Remember when Jimmy Garoppolo won those five in a row after the trade? And it was one on Christmas Eve where they laid 44 on that great defense. At the time, known as Saxonville. Mm, yeah. And those guys are all gone. The only guy left from that defense is Miles Jack. They have completely flipped the entire defense. And obviously bringing in Urban Meyer, it's a completely new, and I'll call it a program because that's the term they use in college football and college sports. And he's, you know, certainly one of the great college coaches of all time. But they're really searching for who they are. But it's just it's an unfamiliar opponent, which to me is a little bit of fear of the unknown. But the other side of it, they don't know the 49ers. But I think when you're the better team, the better roster, the fear of the unknown kind of is more fearful when you're the team that's expected to win. And I watch back, obviously, a few of their games, and the Buffalo game is fresh in my mind. Buffalo's got one of the best offenses in football, and they couldn't score on them. They kicked two field goals and lost the game 9-6. So this is a quality team. The record's not there. I shouldn't say a quality team. A quality defense. I think their defense is pretty good. And another reason it's a different challenge is their run defense in particular is much better than the Rams. I mean, the Rams you can run on, and people knew that, and obviously Kyle dialed up the 44 runs. This defense is giving up just 3.89 yards a rush, which is the fifth lowest in the league. Now, some of that is they're getting behind in games. Teams are trying to take the air out of the ball and just run it more. And some of their runs are not always quality or, you know, clock killers. And so I think that's a little bit deceiving, but still it's a hard front to run against. Kyle's got the goal of getting to 30 runs every game. It's going to be tough probably to get to 30 in this game. Certainly you're not going to get to 44 in the game. I think this is a game where Jimmy Garoppolo's going to have to throw the ball around a little bit more.
Greg Papa with us. You know, you talked about identity. That's something, as we go back to last weekend, that's something we've been struggling with all week, talking to other people that cover the team, talking to Eric Armstead. You know, was it, in your opinion, was last week trouncing of the Rams, is that closer to who the Niners are? Is that to you closer to who their true identity is, that preseason hype, everything? Or is it still completely up in the air for you, this Jekyll and Hyde-ness?
Well, you have to go play, but it showed what they're capable of and the recipe for them to win. The obviously, it's a run-based offense. And they're doing it differently now. They're doing it out of a shotgun formation. They're doing it with different running backs. You don't have Raheem Mostert. It's become a rookie back. It's not Trey Sermon. It's Elijah Mitchell that's doing it. You did get Jeff Wilson Jr. back in this game, and they used him very cleverly as a fullback a lot, in addition to giving him 10 carries. And then the offensive line just ran over the Rams. So that's the identity of who this team is. And then the passing game off of it, what the identity was with the Shanahan system for years and years and years was quarterback under center, outside zone, stretch left, stretch right, and then all the boot keep game with the quarterback moving off of it. We're not seeing that now. What they become is a shotgun team with Jimmy looking at the defense, riding the mesh point of the running back. It's just that's the kind of system Jimmy was raised in college. And then the system and the way the formations are with these running backs that are coming into the NFL, it's almost all spread shotgun in the NFL. And we can thank Urban Meyer for that, probably more than anybody, is that he really brought the spread formation into college football to a large degree, and what he did with Alex Smith at Utah. So that's who they are on offense. And then defense, they're still searching for who they are, but that game to literally 180 degrees flip from the Arizona game where they just got trucked to what they were able to do in this game and hold that's a state-of-the-art Ram offense. I know losing Robert Woods on Friday was a bad blow for them, and OBJ was still getting acclimated, but still, this is a team that averages 29 points a game coming in, and they got to 10. That's all they had. So I think that, yes, they're capable of it. Does that mean they're going to do it every single game? You hope. What they're trying to achieve now, Dave, is consistency. You've got to be more consistent. And they have shown flashes of domination. The first game of the year in Detroit just dominated them. After the slow start in Philadelphia, there was a long stretch of, you know, late in the first half all the way through the second half where they dominated them. The Green Bay game, they got down 17-0, but they did come back and take the lead, and there were stretches there where they were by far the better team late first half, third quarter. And the Seattle game, they jumped them early. Defense was strong, 3-3 and outs. And then you lost Jimmy to an injury, and you're tied at halftime. And, you know, Trey has to play the second half, and you botch a few kickoff returns, and you wind up getting rolled. So they are capable of that. So to say, what's their identity? We know how they want to play. They want to play physically. They want to run the ball. They want to set the tone with that, play complementary football. So the recipe is Monday night. That's the blueprint for how they want to play and win. But will they do it every single game? You got to lock in here now. And you don't have to do it every single play, but you've got to do it more than just once in a while. You have to do it almost every snap, or certainly a far higher percentage of snaps than you're not doing. And then that's what they got to strive for. They got to strive for consistency. And I keep bringing them up because they weren't quite 3-5, and the record wasn't as bad as the 49ers record. Now the 49ers record is 4-5. But Tampa Bay was 7-5 last year. And they had major games where they were not consistent. They were disjointed. Now they had a new quarterback, and they were putting it all together. Remember how badly New Orleans beat them twice?
Yeah.
And then the game in Chicago where they couldn't count to four. They didn't know what down it was. So there was a definite disconnect there, and then they got hot and they ran the table. So the 49ers just need to be consistent, and I think they're striving to get to that point, but they are capable. They are a capable football team. They are capable of beating any team any week in this league. And you know, that means you can take it as far as you can. Or, you know, able to sustain it, but they've got to develop consistency.
You know, when we're talking about consistency, and speaking of that defense, I thought Fred Warner, Greg, was very open and transparent about, you know, the season he's had, not living up to the standards he's set for himself. And there's this idea out there that he might be trying to do too much. Do you think that's just kind of natural of a guy getting a new contract combined with seeing some key losses on his defense to try to make up for that?
Well, he said that's what he's doing. He's trying to do too much. And you could see it. He was just over-pursuing, getting out of gaps, a lot of cutback runs. I mean, look at the James Conner touchdown on the screen against Arizona early in the second half where he overran that play. There were a number of plays where he got knocked back. He would tackle the running back or make first contact with the running back at like 2 or 3 yards, and the back would pick up 6 or 7. And he got pushed back. He was playing too high. But he's on it. He's the most diligent guy, very serious, always carrying a football around the facility, something he learned from Quan Alexander, trying to get the ball. And I think, obviously, Jimmy Ward's performance on Monday night with the early pick of Stafford and the pick six got all the headlines. But I thought one of the key early plays of the game was Fred tracking down Darrell Henderson Jr., the Ram back, number 27, in the right flat, and just burying him. It may have been the second defensive play of the game. And he saw it, he triggered, and boom, he blew it up. And he came there hot. And that was like, wow, he's on it tonight. But that's a little of what I'm talking about with the familiarity of knowing the Rams and how certain plays he can see. You just hope he can figure out Jacksonville and lock the puzzle, because they're an uncommon opponent. They're a lack of familiarity. The fear of the unknown again. But he triggered fast. He trusted what he saw. Didn't overrun it. Got there on time and got there, you know, with great force to make a lot of big hits in the game. So I think there's no doubt that was his best game of the year. And if he keeps playing like that and stacking them week to week, then you know the whole team defensively feeds off of him.
Last thing for you, you know that again you. You bottom line the Cardinals and the Rams and the difference between the weeks. We have a lot of fun with it in the media. Is there something to the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan matchup? As you know, you know this better than anyone. Last home win was over a year ago, October, against these same Rams. Kyle has just owned McVay. Is that one of those boxing style makes fights things?
You know what I really think it is? I think it's more John Lynch against Les Snead. Mm. The two GMs, I think it's just the roster composition. The Rams they have four great players or so on each side of the ball. I mean, defensively, it's Aaron Donald. He's the best player by far. Jalen Ramsey is such a good player.
Yeah.
Amazing player. And then you've got, you know, Leonard Floyd, a very underrated player, and they brought in Von Miller. The rest of their defense has got a lot of holes. Sure. Those linebackers are really attackable. 49ers kept completing passes over the middle on Troy Reader and the young linebacker, Jones, number 50. The safeties are young. Darius Williams, the one corner, is good. But when they put Jalen in the nickel and move him inside, there's a vulnerability on the other corner on the outside. And then offensively, they've got the quarterback, and he was off. He was off in this game. And I watched every one of his throws going into the game on Monday night, and yeah, they were 7-2 going in, and the week before they were 7-1. He's getting a lot of MVP votes, but he misses a lot of throws. And it's not, is it him? Is it he doesn't quite see everything there or whatever it is, but he's off. But they've got, you know, Cooper Kupp's a great player. Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle, still very good. Havenstein's very good, the right tackle. But they're not good in the middle of their offensive line. So I think the 49ers beat them up. They out-physical them. And I think that's just a little bit of the roster composition, and Kyle, big part of that. But Les Snead and the Rams have gone for more splashy, star power kind of players, and the 49ers just have really good players at more spots where they could execute that game plan and just go get them with their physicality. So Yeah, I'm sure Kyle knows a lot of things that McVay does, and like the tight end screen to Higbee that he dropped, and Jimmy Ward picked out of the air for the pick six was, you know, that's familiarity with them wanting to run that one play over and over again. But I think really it's just that the 49ers have a more physical roster top to bottom than the Rams, and to me that's John Lynch, the former headhunting Hall of Fame safety, and the way he built this team along with John and Adam Peters versus the way Les Snead has done it.
Well, that is the great Greg Papa. Mr. Papa, we are off next week for the Thanksgiving holiday. So
you are?
Yeah, we're taking
this one. Staying local? Where are you going?
Staying local. Hosting this year. Yeah.
Nice.
No, it's not. No, you know it's not.
It's a lot of work.
But
pumpkin pie. We gotta go pumpkin pie.
Going pumpkin pie. Gonna go. You know, obviously turkey. We're gonna smoke one. We're gonna oven cook one. We're gonna do the green bean casserole. Gravy, mashed potatoes. You know, we're gonna go for it this year.
So next Friday, you're not getting up in the morning. You're gonna be in a turkey induced coma.
Tryptophan coursing through my veins. I'll be the kid. You know, the older I get, Greg, the more I've become my father. I'm the one snoring on the couch about 6 p.m.
Well, we have three games that day, though. We got a triple header, so stay awake here. We got three.
Well, our best to the entire Papa family. Yeah. I know you guys are.
So we're not going to do anything on Wednesday next week. We're going to just shut it down.
We're shutting it down, baby.
We're gone all week.
We're gone all week long. So,
oh, you are.
Yeah. I mean, I could call you offline. We could just kind of do a little 5 minutes.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we'll go back and talk about the Jacksonville game.
There you go.
We got a big one coming out of Thanksgiving is the Minnesota game.
Yes,
it'll be a big one. The 49ers get this game and get to 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
That game against Minnesota is going to be large for a playoff spot. So,
well, hopefully next time we talk, we're talking about a 3-game winning streak. Have a wonderful set of calls. Love to you and your family. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave. Be good.
You take care. That's great, Papa. We'll take a break.
Same Carmichael Dave time, same Carmichael Dave channel, but a new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
We are live.
And in living color.
That's right. Final time until a week from Monday. Please have a safe holiday next week, holiday week. Jay and I off for the week.
See you on the 29th.
Yeah.
10 days from now.
You may see us on the 29th. We don't know. Depending on the computer. YouTube's up.
Jeez.
Sorry to all the YouTubers.
Can you not hit the trigger point? Appreciate that.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. We'll be off next week. Please enjoy. Yes, please do enjoy the holiday. Kings tonight. 5:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip right here on the Sporty 1140. Also got you a back-to-back tomorrow with the Jazz. Right now, though, let's pick some football games, shall we?
It's Friday, and that means one thing.
The best time in football is on Friday night.
It's Football Friday. Football Fridays on Sports 1140 KHTK is brought to you by United Wholesale Lending.
And we bring in one of my two good friends from United Wholesale Lending. Only because I'm only
a good friend.
You know, why not? I like having friends. The one, the only, Peter from United Wholesale Lending, continuing his streak all year long with the exception of 1 week. Tough week last week. Tough week overall if you're going for favorites. Tough couple of weeks, actually.
How about a tough season? Can we just throw that in there? It's been a tough season to pick.
It really, really, really has.
Unless you're Peter.
Peter, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you doing? What about that win last week?
Oh, my goodness gracious, huh? That was, you know, it's funny. My friend, because, of course, I do not bet, my friend had a four-leg parlay going last week. It was the under in the Rams-Niners at 50.5. That hit. It was the Kings over the Pistons. That hit. It was the Wizards over the New Orleans Pelicans. Wizards were down 18 at one point, 1 by 5. That line was 4.5. Things were looking fantastic. The one leg, and it's always one leg that didn't hit, and I believe it was $100 to win 1,000 for him. The one leg that didn't hit is that it was the one that he said he was the most confident on, and it was the Rams at 2.5. They did not cover by a long shot. The Niners come back, or I shouldn't say come back. The Niners boat raced them, and that's why you don't do parlays, Peter.
Or you hedge at the end, because if they would have took the Niners money line, they would have won both their money no matter what.
I know. You know what? That's true. He should have done that. See, he should have called you, Peter.
Yeah, should have called me.
All right, let's get to it. As always, Jay, myself, and then Peter will pick, followed by, during the break, we will grab one lucky listener, which you can do right now, 1-800-920-1140. Here's the deal. We're picking against the spread. That's it. There's nothing ventured, nothing gained. Here's the thing. There's no risk for the listener, but all you have to do is beat Peter. If you do beat Peter, guess what? You win yourself a brand new sparkling set.
If you beat Peter.
I know, right? Of cornhole boards. Peter, we will start at 10 a.m. The Niners are 6.5 point favorites against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you. Jay, Niners, 6.5. Who you got?
Give me the Niners, right? Yeah. We got to have some momentum. Like, this can't be a fluke against the Rams. You're going into Jacksonville. I got the Niners by 10.
I'm going to put my homerism for the Niners out here because, in truth, yeah, I hear you. But every time I believe in the Niners, they lose.
Wow.
I'm purposely going to pick Jacksonville.
For all the rest of us?
Not because I think that the Niners won't cover, but simply because them winning is more important to me than me winning here.
You're a true humanitarian.
Put it out there for you. Peter, Niners, 6.5 points. What do you do?
You know what I'm going to do. The Jags have lost 13 games in a row at home, and the Niners impressed in a big way last week, beating the Rams on Monday night. It's not going to be easy. They're traveling across the country on a short week after a big win. It seems like a trap game. The 49ers have to take care of business. They want to make the postseason. It's crazy to even think about the Niners making the postseason, but when you look at their seven teams this year and three wild cards, there's about three or four teams in the mix, and I don't really trust the other ones. I think that the Niners are going to come in there. They're going to take care of business. Their defense has come alive, and not one person or one team in the league can slow Deebo Samuels right now. He's proven to be either the number one or number two best receiver this year in the NFL. They have a chance to establish themselves. The Jags are the weakest team in the NFL. The Niners are 3-1 on the road this season. I take them covering the spreads.
Well, then we move on to the Raiders. Raiders struggling. Raiders have lost two in a row. Battle of 2 5-4 teams as Cincinnati goes into Vegas. Cincinnati, the 1-point favorite as of right now, Jay.
Yeah, this is probably the toughest game we're going to have, especially when it comes to picking the Raiders games, because them and the Bengals are kind of in the same trajectory. Start hot, have stumbled as much. I think this comes down to Derek Carr versus Joe Burrow, and I think the vet Carr wins barely. I think the Raiders win by 3. Give me the Raiders.
Yeah, this is a tough, tough game. I think it's close as well. 3 in a row losing for the Raiders. I don't. If this isn't Cincinnati, I'm taking Cincinnati. This is a coin flip. I'm going to take the Raiders. Peter?
Another toss-up game. Both teams are 5-4, trying to bust out of 2-game losing streaks. The Bengals are coming off a bye, though, while the Raiders have lost 2 in a row. I mean, think about it. You lose your head coach, your number one wide receiver in a span of 2 weeks, regardless of why, it's going to catch up to you.
Yep.
The Bengals have their sight on the pro season, and the Raiders are going to hit free-fall mode. Cincinnati's been a surprising team. They started off hot. You know I don't like the Raiders, and I pick against them every week, and or I pick with them, and I'm opposite. But the Raiders are going to continue to be what they've always been, a mediocre team. The Bengals are a playoff contender, and they're going to make the Raiders look like a playoff pretender. Take the Bengals on this one.
Look at that. One more game before we get to Peter's pick. Tampa Bay struggling as of late, but there's no elixir like the New York Football Giants going into Florida. Tampa Bay favored by 11, Jay.
Yeah, that elixir is going to taste real, real good. I think the Bucs win by at least 2 touchdowns. Give me Tampa.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not much to think here. I don't like double-digit lines in the NFL, but yeah, I think Tom Brady's upset. I don't think the Giants have the ammo to stop, or should I say stem the tide. I'm going to go with Buccaneers. Peter?
I can sit here and tell you that the Giants are going to come off their bye and stun the Bucs, but it's too early to start drinking. After dropping 2 in a row, the Bucs are going to be angry. It's prime time, and Tom Brady has to have a huge bounce-back game. It's a lot of points. I mean, the Giants, this seems like it's just too many points, but Tom Brady rarely has 2 bad games in a row, and he definitely doesn't have 3. It's going to be the Bucs covering the spread by 11.
All righty. Well, here we go. All 3 of us with Tampa Bay. Now we get to Peter's pick. Peter, what's your game of the week?
This is a homecoming game and of no other. The Panthers are going to welcome Ron Rivera and the Washington football team back to Bank of America Stadium in an epic reunion. This is Ron Rivera's first game back in Carolina, where he's the all-time winningest coach. And this is going to be Cam Newton's first start back in Carolina. It's going to be exciting. This is more of a box office and a box score, in my opinion. The Panthers are playing against Tyler Henke, which happened to be Cam Newton's backup at one point. And the reigning rookie of the year is out for the season. Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey healthy, that's not the same Panthers team that Washington football wants to see. They're going to win this game. They're going to beat the Dolphins next week, the Falcons the week after that. They're going to be 8-5 going into December, and there's going to be a lot of Superman celebrations. Take the Panthers to cover the spread.
Yeah, I'm with Peter. I'm taking the Panthers on this one as well. We talked about this with Dave Richard. You know, Terry McLaurin's the big star in that Washington offense. He's had trouble getting going lately. I don't think he finds it against the Panthers. Yeah, I'm taking Carolina on this pretty comfortably.
Yeah, also Chase is out.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Gibson is hurt. You love the idea of Ron Rivera coming back, and Ron Rivera knowing Cam Newton inside and out, being able to scheme against him, the emotion of returning home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the teacher, the pupil, that whole thing. That's the Hollywood ending. We're not getting a Hollywood ending here. Carolina, we all three agree on that. So 1-800-920. Oh, I see we have people.
We already got someone
up.
On
all
hold.
Right. So we will get that during the break. Peter, we are off next week. To you and yours, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We will talk to you 2 weeks from today with more of Peter's Picks. Enjoy yourself.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right, thank you. That is
we got time. You want to get? Let's get our.
Is that line one?
That's line one.
All right. Hello, caller. Who's this?
Hey, good morning. This is Nick.
Nick, I cannot tell you how much I am rooting for you to beat Peter here. I want to give you these cornhole boards so bad. The audience has been absolutely failing all year long. Just one win. So let's go, dude. Niners favored by 6.5 points in Jacksonville. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Jacksonville.
Wow. Look at that. So already, not a lot of confidence. Vegas hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals favored by one.
Let's go Cincinnati.
Okay. All right. Tampa Bay, New York Giants, Monday Night Football. The Buccaneers and Tom Brady favored by 11.
Tampa Bay.
And then finally, no need for total points because you and Peter disagree on the Niners and Jaguars. Carolina and the Washington football team. Carolina at home favored by 3.5.
Carolina.
All right. Listen, Jay will get all your information. Please do hold. I am rooting for you. It comes down really to that Niners-Jacksonville game. You're obviously a Jaguars fan, at least to cover. Should that happen? You've got yourself a pair of...
What was the line on that one again?
The line on that was the Niners are favored by 6.5.
So the Niners got to win by a touchdown. Interesting.
Well, you know what? Honest to goodness, it's all about winning. In whatever way, Jay, you can win, that's all that matters, right?
Biggest win of the day for you, plugging in your laptop.
Hey, look at that. And you always win at United Wholesale Lending. You just heard Peter, Shelby, and all the great people over there. Sports fans, sure, but also this is what's important. They're local. They're local. They understand the market. They understand you. They understand your equity, how you got it. They have all the title companies, the appraisers. It's important to have those relationships when you're trying to push things through. And they can go to multiple different banks. Different banks. Multiple and different mean the same thing. Don't know why I repeated it, but the point should be doubled that you're not just stuck going to a bank with a cookie-cutter program that has to fit you, that you have to fit. They've got programs that are designed to fit you, and that's how it should be. The bank should fit you, not the other way around. Go to refinancewithshelby.com right now. You can pre-approve you over the phone in just under 15 minutes without even running your credit. You got nothing to lose, everything to gain. The only thing you have to lose is the amount of digits you're putting on that check you write each month. refinancewithshelby.com. That's refinancewithshelby.com. NMLS number 279051. BRA number 01864354.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
Final segment of the week. Final segment before the holidays hit. We got a What's on Tap. We got a crossover. We finish up with y'all right after this.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
doing things you haven't done since pre-pandemic.
Like?
Going to a movie theater today.
Oh, really?
Who you gonna call?
Oh, are you? Good for you.
He has to.
I'm excited because I want a review on this from somebody I know.
Okay.
I am cautiously excited about the new Ghostbusters.
I'm cautiously optimistic, not cautiously excited. Well, I think it's going to be good, though.
The trailer looks phenomenal.
It's got Paul Rudd.
The trailer looks fantastic, and it has Paul Rudd. But...
But...
Well, I mean...
there's always the proverbial but.
I haven't enjoyed a Ghostbuster since Ghostbusters 2.
I'm going to punch you. Hey, guy. Same.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I played the remastered, like, the video game on Switch, which is supposed to be, it's voiced by Aykroyd.
And oh, really?
It's one of those story games. It was supposed to be the third one. It's actually really good.
Interesting. Also, programming note, Thanksgiving, if you have Disney Channel, the new Peter Jackson director of all the Lord of the Rings movies and all that, the new documentary, it's a three-parter on the Beatles. Starts Thursday, Thanksgiving. It's three parts. They'll do it all over the weekend, each one 2 hours long, based on that rooftop concert outside their studios.
Well, for shouting out future movies and shows, I think next week 8-Bit Christmas drops as well, starring Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh.
Retelling the story to his kids about when he was 8 in like 1988 and the entire town was in search of a Nintendo. 8-Bit Christmas.
I'm old enough to remember when he was Doogie Howser, M.D.
Yeah.
He'll always be Doogie to me.
Well, I mean, he'll always be Doogie, but to me, he'll always be half Doogie, half NPH from the Harold and Kumar movies because he's so good at
him. He was fantastic. Raptors King, 7 o'clock, 5:30 pregame. Right here on the Sportatious 1140. Kings favored by 3.5 in this one. Oh, God, you need a win. Just get a damn win, please.
Predictions for Monday. Will they be 0-2, 1-1, or 2-0 after this back-to-back?
I'm gonna be a homer and say 1-1.
Attaboy.
I'll say 1-1.
Attaboy. I'm thinking 1-1, too. I think they get tonight, and then I think they lose a tough one tomorrow.
I'll say they lose tonight and beat the Jazz, and then really screw with our heads. Then just screw with our heads. Why not? Big football weekend.
Yes.
Normally, you'd be like, oh, Niners, Jaguars, who cares? Well, no, for both the Niners and the Raiders. These are pretty, they're all huge now. Niners, Jaguars, 10 a.m. Bengals, Raiders, that's in Vegas. Bengals, as we talked about with Peter, favored by one. And, this is a big game against, between two teams that are, unlike the Niners and Jaguars. Jaguars aren't going to the playoffs. Bengals and Raiders both want to be there, both in position to be there.
If the Raiders fall and go to 5-5, are you kind of out on them as a playoff team? That's going to be rough with the Chiefs coming on.
Kind of like what we were talking about with Dave Richard with the lines of demarcation now that have moved because of 17 games. I would say 6. You get that 6 loss this early. It also depends on where you're getting that loss. But, yeah, if the Raiders go to 5-5, that means... 7 games left. They'd have, well, I mean, again, 7 games left. If they go 5-5, you'd have to go what? 6-5-2? 5-2?
I guess. I just don't see that happening. 5-2 left.
Yeah, 10-7 gets in the playoffs. I'm sure.
I think in the AFC, that gets you the 7 seed at least.
Things are just so
sure.
Far up in the air, though. We got a crossover?
We does.
Oh, Jason Ross, the boss.
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Here's today's crossover.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Thanks.
Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars. Hi. I saw this question on social media somewhere the other day, or this debate, and I thought, oh, this is a perfect Friday question for you guys. So imagine when you take a shower. And you are shampooing your hair. And, Jay, you can shampoo your hair, your scalp, much like I do. We're in the same boat there. But the question was, the debate was, are you someone that faces the shower to rinse your hair or the shampoo or turn your back to rinse? And I guess everybody kind of has the same routine. What's your routine? Let me know. Do you face the shower or turn your back?
I'm a shower facer. Because I have a beard I wash as well, and that makes it a lot easier.
So it's a little different. The answer for me is both. I'll explain.
Of course.
No, I'll explain.
I know there's some like complex matter to which you wash.
Why do you say that?
Because everything with you is complex.
I wouldn't say it's complex.
Like, you can't even put toppings on a hot dog without it being complex.
I would say that I take the time and I'm strategic. Now, here's what I do.
Let's call you complex and high maintenance.
I shampoo my hair. I then use my little scrubby. And I
my
soap.
Little scrubby.
I do the soap. And, of course, there's an order in which I soap. And I'm not going to say what I soap last, but I would hope that's common with everyone.
Feet?
Yeah. Then. See, now understand, I leave the shampoo. Some people, they do the shampoo, rinse it out, and then they soap. I leave the shampoo in so that it can do extra cleanings. And then I soap. And if I'm shaving in the shower, I leave the shampoo and the soap on.
It had to be something super.
I leave the shampoo and soap on while I'm shaving.
Bruh, he just asked you, do you turn around or do you face the damn shower?
I know, but here I'm trying to.
Nobody wanted your entire shower routine.
I'm giving you the background. Now I want you to visualize a hot and soapy Carmichael Dave.
Nobody visualized this.
And shampoo.
Don't do it.
I start with my back to the shower head and I lean my hair back. And I rinse out most of the shampoo, letting the water cascade down my back and stuff
to
wash my back off. Then
this.
I turn around and I duck my head down and I rinse off the rest of it and then my front side. So that's why I have to go both ways in that situation because I've got soap and shampoo on both sides of my body. So there's a whole...
I'm isolating that.
There's a... there's a whole method.
Yeah, nobody wanted the method.
Oh, yeah, that's a question.
Listen, this sounds really bad given what you just laid out, but nobody wanted to know how the sausage was made, bro.
Ew. He asked the question.
No, he didn't ask for the detail.
All right, fine. Let's stick with bathroom habits on our crossover.
Oh, see,
question.
I knew you were going to do this
now. You know what? He started it.
Let me guess. This is a toilet paper question?
No, that's too easy. That's simple. Crossover time. Jason Ross and everybody else, feel free. Jay, Chris, whoever else is there, feel free to participate. Since you asked the shower question, or more specifically the shampoo question, let me ask you a question about baths. Baths, something we all did as little kids. Baths, something... people still do. But here's my thing. I hate baths. I think they're disgusting. And I want to know where you guys stand on baths. So it's a two-parter. Number one, as a rule, where do you stand on baths? Let me be clear. I'm sure you don't take baths all the time, but do you enjoy a nice bath? This and then number two, when was the last time you took a bath? Can you even remember? And then just kind of as a bonus Thanksgiving question, still any toys. If you do take a bath, if you're a bath person, you still got a ducky, maybe a couple of cars, a G.I. Joe. Those who remember Eddie Murphy's comedy routine. Hey, you know, whatever it may be.
I apologize ahead of time to the afternoon show for you laying out to them what you do while taking a bath.
I don't take baths. That's what I said. I think they're gross. I think sitting in dirt water and soaking it up is disgusting.
This is going
why? Why is that gross? Is that not valid? Baths are for little kids.
Dirt water, though?
Bro, you're dirty. You get into the bathtub. You're soaping up. You're sitting there soaking in your dirty, disgusting water.
Most people don't take a bath like that, though.
Wait, you're taking a bath for relax? I'm not talking
to
about
soak
a,
and relax.
I'm not talking about a Calgon take-me-away bath.
You get the darn book and the glass of wine.
Still people that take baths as a form of cleaning.
Ooh, who are these people?
A lot. Most of them on Twitter. And social media. The birds aren't real group. Guarantee you bath takers. So you're a bath guy?
No, only if I want to soak with like Epsom salt. Other than that, no, I'm a shower guy.
I hear you there.
I use the bathtub to soak if I need to soak, but I've probably already showered.
Okay, well, that's acceptable. I think a bath in general is disgusting by rule.
You're disgusting by rule. I've had the visual of you taking a shower now.
Stick with that. Stick with that visual all freaking weekend and next week. In fact,
I won't even need propane to get my fire lit then, will I?
Hey, that's right. It's a cinch. Thanksgiving, a week from yesterday. Holidays here. Relatives perhaps rolling into town. Don't be an outcast in your own family by having your barbecue, your space heater, your fire pit run out. Order Cinch right now. Don't wait, seriously, because everybody's doing it. Order Cinch right now. You'll have your propane tanks by Thanksgiving. You can order an exchange, put your old tanks out there. You can order brand new ones. Either way, Cinch has you covered. CYNCHcinch.com. Perfect for Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and the holidays forward. Cinch.com, promo code Dave. Hey, listen, for Jay and myself, thank you so much. Jim Rome is next. Have a wonderful and safe holiday. We'll see you a week from Monday. Bye. Bye. Nah.